Dear friends, what a joy to worship God and a joy to come before Him and to acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior of our life. A very good morning to each and every one of you who are joining us in this worship service. It's our prayer that even in these challenging moments, the presence of God will be felt in our life. God loves us. He never fails us nor forsakes us. Today, I want to look at a very interesting and an important topic. I've entitled today's sermon as Jonah and the Sovereign Grace of God. That's found in Jonah chapter 2. Jonah and the Sovereign Grace of God. So let's pray and ask God to help us as we spend some time to draw strength from God's word. As we spend some time just to listen to what God has for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, because your word is alive. It's sharper than the two-edged sword of God. We pray that we will be receptive. We pray, God, that we will listen to your voice and be doers of your word. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, as restrictions on gatherings imposed by this crisis begin to ease, congregations are likely to find themselves in a very new normal. When many of us are excited, right, to be back, it's a joy to see familiar faces. But to some, it's some kind of anxiety, some kind of fear in us. To some, it's a mixture of joy and sadness because there have been so much of loss of lives. While many are coping with this crisis, we have an opportunity to discover basic values about humanity and the bonds that connect us. I believe many of us would agree with me that it was a time of learning, a time that we were able to learn about life and the importance of life. Someone said like this, "There is good in every crisis." Yes, this crisis has opened our eyes to see and to value our lives, my friend. Because things around us can change in an instant. Everything can end even today or tomorrow. And so we are asked, we are challenged and every moment to focus what is important. On the same note, you realize, you know, we live in a world that says, just go on, just go on. We have been asked to slow down and to reflect about life and the priorities of life. Because we are constantly under pressure to be productive, to compete, to be better than our peers or ourselves. We are always on the move. As a result, this pandemic or this lifestyle has actually affected many lives today. I was just reading across some articles. And I realize the importance of mental health. Because many are confined to their houses. Many are coping with boredom or even learning to cope with their fears. And some are worried about their finances or even what's going to happen the next day. Many lives are affected. Mental health is also affected. I came across an article that was released by the charity group called the Mental Health Research Canada. And they had a snapshot of the mental health situation. They say in the year 2020, in December, they found that 22% of surveyed Canadians reported that they had been diagnosed with depression. Can you imagine that number? And it's almost like increasing each and every day, my friend. Another lesson that we learn during this crisis, in this pandemic, we learn the importance of relationship. And we know as human beings, you know, you and I are fragile. And our strength lies in being part of a community. And so you realize, you know, many are sharing, many are caring. And I believe, you know, many of us have been involved, right, to listen to the needs of others, to care, to respect, and also to help. And we thank God for the opportunity that God has given us to reach out to people during these times. And I believe many of us do not want this pandemic or this, even this crisis. No one wants to live in a time like this. But when I look at the passage that we are about to see, or even the crisis that we are in, it displays who we are as Christians, my friend. Who we are and where is our trust and whom do we belong to? As Christians, you know, one of the things that we need to ask ourselves, what lessons have I learned about God in these times? What lessons have I learned about His love, about His grace, about His protection, or even about God's providence in our lives? I believe crises are moments that we begin to know the faithfulness of God, the grace of God, the love of God, that God is sovereign. So today, what lessons have we learned? I want to jump to this topic today, you know, Jonah and the sovereign grace of God that's found in Jonah chapter 2. As we investigate Jonah's experience in the belly of the fish, a very familiar story to us. Chapter 2, it's a passage that is packed completely with petition, at the same time, thanksgiving. And Jonah speaks about the experiences. He's out from the belly of the fish, and he speaks about his experience. He sees how God had been wonderful in his life. He discovered more about God in the darkness, in the valley, that he had never known before. Just to recap, you know, all of us know the story of Jonah. We know that God called him to warn the people of Nineveh that he was going to judge them. So rather than obeying God, so Jonah chose to flee in the opposite direction because he didn't want the Assyrians to be saved by the mercy or the grace of God. Because the Assyrians were seen as the enemies of Israel. They were cruel. They were wicked people. And so Jonah was seen running away. But God did not stop. The Lord went after Jonah. He brought a great storm. And finally, Jonah was thrown into the sea, and the Lord commanded a huge fish. The passage says that the Lord provided a huge fish, and Jonah was swallowed, my friend. Many of us are familiar with this story. We have heard it, we have read it, and we enjoy telling these stories to our kids. They might even wonder, right, how can a person be in the belly of a big fish? You know, when we hear the story of Jonah, one of the first things that comes to our mind is Jonah spending 3 days in the belly of a whale. Yes, it is important in his life, but that's not the ultimate purpose of the book of Jonah. Campbell Morgan beautifully puts it. He says, "Men have been looking so hard at the great fish that they have failed to see the great God." And so in this particular passage, we see the sovereign grace of God in times of darkness. You know, when you see the sovereign grace of God, it combines two of God's attributes, His sovereignty, at the same time, His that God is full of grace. And these both characters, you know, when you dig into it, you know, you can read volumes about the sovereign grace of God. And today I want to spend the time looking at the experience that Jonah is speaking and see the sovereign grace of God, even in the time of crisis, even in the belly of the fish. We see the sovereign grace of God manifested. Today, my friends, even we are in the midst of a pandemic, God has not left us. We see that God is still sovereign and God is full of grace. And Jonah would testify that. Firstly, let's look at the passage. Let's turn to Jonah chapter 2. Realize, you know, Jonah's, firstly, we see that God is the sovereign Lord. So when we say God is sovereign, what does that mean? It means that God is in total control of all things. He's in control of the past, he's in control of the present. At the same time, he's in control of the future. He's in control of everything. Nothing happens beyond his knowledge and control. Look at the passage, you know, Jonah uses the word Lord, which means that God is sovereign. In chapter 2, verse 1, you read, you know, Jonah says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. So he addresses God as sovereign. And then if I further read, you realize it says, in my distress, Jonah says, I called to the Lord. He addresses the Lord again. And as he continues, Jonah says, but you, Lord, my God, brought my life from the pit. In verse 6. What a wonderful God that Jonah saw, even in the midst of his crisis. Can you imagine being in the belly of the fish? But he saw that God is still sovereign. It is hard, my friend, to miss the Lord's hand traced throughout this book. God shows throughout the book of Jonah that he is in control from the beginning to the end. And he controls everything, my friend. We see that God is sovereign throughout entire creation. Firstly, God was so sovereign, he called Jonah to bring his word of repentance to the city. And in verse 4, the Lord brought, when Jonah was running away, right in the ship, going to another city, the Lord brought a great wind, which caused a storm, and it became chaos to those who were just with Jonah. The Lord had control over the great wind. The scripture tells us that he is in charge of everything. Nothing happens without his knowledge, my friend. In verse 7 of chapter 1, you realize, you know, God controls the sailors' lots when they were throwing lots. And finally, Jonah was exposed as the cause of the storm. In chapter 1, verse 6 and 14, you know, even the pagan soldiers acknowledged that God's will is to be done, and he does what he wants. As all of us know, that God prepared the fish for that moment. Can you imagine? God is in charge of everything. Nothing happens without the knowledge of God, my friend. God exercised control over the great fish so that the fish swallowed Jonah without harming Jonah. God spoke to the fish in chapter 2, verse 10. You read that the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. It's a profound statement, my friend. Everything that God has created listens to God. God exercised his sovereignty, commanding the fish so that it will accomplish his plan and purpose. In the face of a terrible evil, or even in a time like this, we may be tempted to doubt God's control of the universe. In times we begin to ask, is God still in control? Is God sovereign over all things? Dear friends, the more you look at scriptures, scripture reminds us that God is never surprised or nervous by things such as these deadly viruses that's among us. Nor is he surprised by any calamity, earthquakes or floods. All things under his absolute control. So what do we learn from this when we hear that God is so sovereign? Because God is sovereign, one of the things that we learn that as God's people, we need not be anxious, we need not be fearful. We can live a life with confidence because we know that God does all things according to His plan and His purposes. Dear friends, if there are some kind of anxiety or fear in you, replace it with faith in God. God is in control, and He wants us to believe Him. When I read Psalm 62, verses 6 to 8 onwards, the psalmist echoes, and he says, "Lord, that You are my rock and my salvation, my poor fortress," he says, "and I shall not be shaken." You are my fortress, O God, my salvation, and I will not be shaken. And so he challenges the people, the psalmist. He says, "Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him, because God is refuge for us." Yes, the Lord is sovereign. So as Christians, we need not fear, because God is in control. We continue to trust Him, continue to lean on to Him, and continue to call upon His name. Secondly, I said, you know, we looked at God is sovereign. At the same time, we see God's sovereign grace in the entire book of Jonah. Particularly in this passage, you know, I just want to see God's sovereign grace. In the midst of calamities, many a times, there was moments in our life, even in this pandemic, some of us would have asked this question, where is the grace of God? Where is the grace of God? Where is the love of God? When we say grace of God, you know, it means the unmerited favor of God toward those who have not earned it or even deserved it. It is undeserved favor. And the more you look of the experience of Jonah in the belly, you see the grace of God, my friend. Even in the midst of our pandemic, we can see the grace of God. We can see the love of God that is upon us. And let's look at Jonah chapter 2 and see God's sovereign grace. Firstly, grace seeks. Grace seeks. You know, when Jonah was around, God called him. And Jonah was running away from the call of God, because he didn't have compassion for the people of Nineveh, so he refused to go. So God could have just let Jonah off the hook. But instead, the grace of God is so wonderful that God was just after Jonah. He was just going wherever Jonah was going, my friend. Because that's the grace of God, my friend. The grace of God is always coming to us. He wants to do wonderful or great things in our life, my friend. He wants to fulfill the plan and purposes. But God did not make Jonah off the hook. He was just after him. So psalmist says exact words. In Psalm 139, you read in verse 7, the psalmist says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens," he says, "you are there. If I put my head in the depths, Lord, you are there." In verse 10, he says, "Even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." That's the grace of God, my friend. The grace of God is just seeking us. Even today, as you and I are hearing God's word, God's grace wants to meet us. He wants us to experience His grace, His love, His presence in our life. That's the grace of God. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And that's the grace of God. And that's wonderful. And as Christians, we need to have that confidence in Christ. And secondly, you see, the grace saves. The grace of God is such that God wants to save us. Look at the life of Jonah. He deserved to be cast out from God's presence, because, you know, he was doing exactly what God didn't want him to do. He was just running away. Instead of running for God, he was just running away from God. Yet, the Lord is there to save him. And Jonah says it in verse 2. He says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. And he says, God answered me. And he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I call for help. And you listen to my cry. Yes, my friend. The grace of God is seen in the life of Jonah. The Lord saves Jonah. And God gives him a second chance. He spares him from all the dangers, my friend. That's the grace of God. And I also want to see that the grace of God is so wonderful. Maybe some of us don't like this. Grace disciplines us. God disciplines us in grace and by grace. What is happening in the story? All of us are familiar. God sometimes stirs up storm to get our attention, my friend. Jonah took a boat or a ship, but God got a ship, it got a fish. It will take a sting in the belly of a fish to bring Jonah to a place of obedience. God used the fish to get Jonah back on course, even spiritually or geographically, my friend. God disciplines him. He brings him through a difficult time so that Jonah will call upon him. And God's discipline is done in love. He disciplines us so that he will teach us to depend on him and to trust in him. And that's why when Paul writes in the book of Hebrews, he writes in chapter 12, verses 5 to 13, when you read it, you know, Paul says, and have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, he says, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. And as you continue to read in verse 10, it says that God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness, my friend. When God disciplines us, it is not necessarily discipline as punishment, but discipline as all instruction, all reproof, or even correction. The main aim is to help us to grow in our spiritual life, that we will be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. And so he chooses to use calamities or difficulties to help us grow in our godliness. So dear friends, when you look at Paul's writing, Paul speaks about it. You know, when you have time, just take this particular passage and read, because God has called us to holiness, and Paul says, and God wants us to live a life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 to 7, you'll continue to read and see why God does things in our life. Can you stop for a moment and imagine what life would be if no one ever disciplined us? If no one ever disciplined us, we would be more arrogant, we would be more selfish, we would be more self-centered, even out of control. Look at the problems that's happening in the world today. In many families, or even in many nations, it's because the lack of discipline. God disciplines his people. God disciplined Jonah because of love. He wants him to be a person who will show love the way God showed love to the people of Nineveh. And so, when you consider the crisis that we are now in, or even some of the crises that you and I would be facing in our lives, there would be times that God allows certain things so that to help us to grow in Him, to see the importance of God in our life. The psalmist says this beautifully. He profited by his afflictions. In Psalm 119, verse 71, he says, "It is good for me that I am afflicted. It is good for me that I am afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." Right? That's what he says. Yes, my friend, Jonah was able to learn from his crisis. He saw the sovereign grace of God. He saw that God is sovereign, that God is in control of everything. God was in control of creation, the creatures. God, nothing is hidden from the sight of God. He knew that. And in the belly of the fish, in a time of crisis, he knew and experienced the grace of God. And it's only the grace of God is able to save him. Let me conclude by sharing a story, an interesting story that happened in the life of Dr. Billy Graham, a well-known man who lived a life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The late Billy Graham, when he was alive, was one day found driving through a small southern town. He was stopped by a policeman and he was charged with speeding. And so Graham admitted his guilt, that he was guilty, and told the officer that he would appear in court. So when he was in court, the judge asked him, "Are you guilty or not guilty?" Graham pleaded guilty. The judge replied, "Then you pay the $10, probably in those days it was less than amount, a dollar for every mile you went over the limit." And then suddenly the judge recognized the famous minister and looked at him and said, "You have violated the law. The fine must be paid, but I'm going to pay it for you." And so the judge took his $10 bill from his phone or wallet, attached it to a ticket, and then took Graham out and brought him a steak dinner. Billy Graham writes about this experience and he says, "This is how God treats repentant sinners. This is how God treats repentant sinners." Dear friends, the God that you and I worship does not take delight in seeing any of his creatures destroyed. He does not take delight in seeing his people perish, but rather he wants them to experience his love and to receive eternal life. Let us be reminded, even in this time of pandemic, that God is in control. That God is in control. That we need his grace every day. We need his grace. We need his grace and guidance in our life every day. And he wants to help us. And the Lord Jesus Christ is just calling us and says, "Come unto me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to you. We thank you, Lord, for your sovereign grace that's always available. Help us, Lord, to take doubt away and replace it with faith, and to know that God is in control of everything that happens in this world. Because you're in control, there's no fear in us, Father. And help us, O Lord, to know that your grace is sufficient and your grace is available each and every moment. And help us, O Lord, to come and fall before you and say, "Lord, I need you. I need your help. I need your presence." We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.